Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2, and we'll be starting verse number 18 today, which says, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." Now, we've been looking over the last few episodes as this issue of how Paul was being opposed in his ministry by individuals, the end result of how Paul had this desire to actually go see them again, to be around the members of the body of Christ that were there in Thessalonica. And now we're seeing how he's saying wherefore, that he's coming to a conclusion about this whole thought process of what was going on, and going to teach the church at Thessalonica some things that they need to have an understanding of related to the performance of things and how everything fits in with the program for this dispensation. So we see this issue says, "Wherefore we would." So a statement of what the will that Paul, Silas, and Timothy had, and what it is that they exactly wanted to do. Now, this is an interesting thought, and we look at how individuals really struggle sometimes with that whole idea of an individual having a thought about what should actually be accomplished and what should be done, and how that contrasts with, you know, the things that God would actually have to done. There's individuals who fall into a thought process that, you know, sometimes is referred to as Calvinism, based on the teachings of John Calvin. And individuals that fall into this thought process would start to talk about how, from their perspective and what they see in the scriptures, that God has laid everything out exactly how it's going to occur, so nothing can happen by chance. So, you know, everything that happens in your life, the good things and the bad things, according to this thought process, God has already predetermined that these things are going to happen. And so no matter what it is that you truly want to have happen, it's all going to work out exactly the way that God has laid it out. And there's no room for, you know, chance or, you know, and the influence of an individual having to say that this is how something could actually occur. Now, what the scriptures actually show is that there are things that actually happen according to what the scriptures would determine as to be chance. We can look, for example, let's go over to Acts chapter number 1, and we'll see an example here in the book of Acts talking about, you know, something that's going to happen by chance. Now, this is going to be an account of the choosing of the replacement for Judas Iscariot to have the 12 apostles functioning again related to the nation of Israel. And here we have in Acts chapter number 1, we're going to start here at verse number 16 and read down through the end of the chapter. And it says, "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased the field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. and it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Elkadama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another man take. Wherefore of these men, which have companied with us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So we see this issue of, you know, the thing of they're trying to find an apostle who's going to replace Judas Iscariot. They identify what the criteria would be for this individual, and that the person would have to, from the baptism of John, so the events that you see in Matthew chapter number 3, all the way up until what we see here in Acts chapter number 1, this individual would have to have been part of that ministry. So they would have to have been part of this, where it records there's 120 individuals that are there in verse number 15, to, you know, right before where we started reading. So these two individuals are being chosen from among that 120 as being the individuals who meet this criteria. Now, so many people try to say that the Apostle Paul was supposed to be this individual, and we know that Paul could not have met that criteria because he was not part of the believing remnant at that point in time. He doesn't become a believer until chapter number 9 of this same book that we're looking at. So he could not have been this individual. They find the two individuals, you know, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, so there's one individual, and they find Matthias. So they have these two individuals, and it records in verse number 26 the idea of that they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias. So Matthias is chosen as being the 12th apostle, and if it was truly just a thing of God choosing this, it would not have been the idea of a choosing of lots to where there would be a thing of chance. You see in the Gospels when the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching, he talks about how, you know, by chance something occurred. You know, he doesn't say that it just occurs because God ordained. It's something that by chance it actually happened. So what the reality of things is that God has laid out his plan for, you know, the dispensational plan of how things are going to go related to the reconciliation of the heaven and the earth. God knows how things are going to work out, but man has the chance, man has a choice to make related to everything that goes on in our life. So, you know, God does have a will, but man also has a will. Man has choices that man has a responsibility of what it is that we are supposed to do. We see what God's will actually is. If we go over to 1 Timothy chapter number 2 for a moment, we see that the Apostle Paul is going to lay out exactly what the will of God actually is here in this chapter. And here in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, we're going to read verses 3 through 5 to kind of get the context of what's being written here, but we're really going to be focusing on verse number 4 here. And it says in verse 3, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." So we see here in verse number 4 of 1 Timothy chapter number 2, the issue of Paul identifying what the will of God is when it says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." Now, again, this is one of these verses that, you know, gets twisted around. So individuals who would fall into that group that we call the Calvinist group would say that when it says God will have all men to be saved, they would say, well, that's just the individuals that have truly been chosen by God that are actually going to be fall into that idea of being, you know, it says that all men would be saved. So this idea completely takes out of the thing of any will that man would have related to it. Now, there's another side that's called universal salvation or universal reconciliation that would take the thought process of that, you know, God's going to ensure that all men are saved, you know, at some future point in time. Again, going to take the idea of man's choices completely out of it and saying, well, you know, even if a man has truly refused to believe in God, to believe the gospel message that's been given to them, at some future point in time, God is going to actually save them. Now, the reality of things is that God has given every individual the opportunity, you know, it talks about that the, you know, gospel, the grace of God has appeared to all men. So all men have the opportunity for salvation. It's up to each individual on whether they are going to actually accept the gospel message that's being given to them in their dispensation. We know what the gospel message is. At this time, the gospel that was given to the Apostle Paul, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and how a person, if they put their trust in that and that alone, that's what's going to give them salvation today. That's what God wants all individuals to come to, that saving knowledge, and have that understanding of what has truly been accomplished for us today. Now, on top of the fact that God wants us to come to that saving knowledge, God also wants us to come unto the knowledge of the truth. He wants every individual to have the understanding of what the Word of God would actually say for them today. And that's where you see how, you know, God gives us an instruction on to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To have the thing of, to have the renewal of the mind that we're supposed to have, taking in the word of God on a daily basis, so that way we can become conformed to the image of his Son and have that knowledge of the truth. So that way the Spirit can teach the Spirit that's inside of us, comparing the spiritual things with spiritual, giving us the understanding of what God wants for us to do today. Now, God clearly had laid out his program for the nation of Israel. He lays out the things for us that way we know what it is that we're supposed to do. We see how God describes these things. If we go over to Romans chapter number 16 for a moment, and we see how Paul identifies the things related to the message that has been given unto him. And here in Romans chapter number 16, we're going to read here verses 25 and 26, where Paul's going to be describing this whole idea here. And in Romans chapter 16, starting here at verse number 25, it says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." So we see as Paul's describing the idea of the gospel that's been given unto him, identifying as the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, he talks about how it was kept secret since the world began. It was all part of the will of God, the plan that had been laid out by the Godhead prior to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. The whole plan related to the reconciliation of the heavenly places through the body of Christ was already laid out as a plan. It was kept secret, so that way nobody would know what it was until the appointed time that it was going to be revealed unto man. That's why you can go through, starting in the book of Genesis, and read all the way from Genesis through Malachi, and you're not going to see anything related to the information that's been given to the Apostle Paul. Now, you individuals will try to say, well, there's a passage in Deuteronomy that talks about the secret things belong unto God, and that was a reference that was being made there. That's not a reference being made there, because there's information that God is even keeping secret from inside of the kingdom program specifically related to them that he reveals as time goes on, giving them that information. And that's where they start to actually see what the program is for them. And he actually is giving them all that information, but it's not an idea of that Paul's gospel and the ministry given unto him was anywhere to be found in Genesis through Malachi. You look in the gospels in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and individuals will try to pull and say, you know, well, it's recorded in the beginning of the book of John that grace and truth come by the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's clearly a change in the program and how this is speaking of the mystery program, and the same thing as what's given to the Apostle Paul. That, and again, that's not the case, because you see how the Lord Jesus Christ identifies that salvation is of the Jews. He talks about how he's come to fulfill the law. We see how we're here in the book of Romans. Let's turn back one chapter here to chapter number 15. And we'll see how Paul's going to say some things about the difference in the ministries between the Lord Jesus Christ when he was here on earth and the information that's been given to the Apostle Paul here. And we look here in Romans chapter number 15, and we're going to look at verse number 8 first, which is going to be speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ during Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it says here, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." So Paul is clearly identifying the fact that the information that is recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is tied in with the promises made unto the fathers, tied in with the program for the nation of Israel, going back to all those promises that had been made in Genesis through Malachi, the covenants all the prophecies that were being made related to them. And what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing was confirming all of those things, teaching things that were lining up perfectly with what their program was, all according to the will that the Godhead had laid out related to the reconciliation of the heaven and the earth. Now we look here, we're in Romans chapter number 15. I want to skip down here to verse number 16 to where we're going to see a description being made here related to the things that the Apostle Paul is doing here in Romans to Philemon. When we read here, and it says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. You had the Lord Jesus Christ confirming the promises that were made unto the fathers, confirming everything that had been given unto the nation of Israel, and the Apostle Paul talking about his responsibility that he's ministering the gospel of God, the information that he identifies and calls it my gospel, which we saw in chapter number 16 when we read that passage a couple minutes ago, and that this is what's given unto him. Talk about the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, tying it in with that program that's given unto him related to the reconciliation of the heavenly places through the instrumentality of the body of Christ. That's what the will of God actually is. God has laid out a plan that's going to reconcile the earth and the heavens back unto himself after there was the rebellion that occurs. God is going to cleanse and bring both of those things back into line with what his original plan has always been. He's laid it out, and by the time what we have written for us in the Word of God, by the time all of those things actually occur, God's will related to the reconciliation of the heaven and the earth will be fulfilled. You know, those are the things that are actually going to occur. Now, we see how man has a will inside of this of where man can choose to either accept what is going on or man can reject what has been given, the information that's been given for instructions, reject the position that man has been given. You see the perfect example. We had talked about Judas Iscariot, the individual who was numbered with the 12 apostles, was given that same position as all the other ones, given the same abilities to perform the miracles, sat through all the same teaching that the rest of the apostles actually did, and yet he made a choice to reject information that had been given, reject all those signs, reject what the Word of God had been saying to them, made the choice to reject it and to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Word of God had said that this was going to occur because God completely knew that this was going to happen, because of the knowledge that God has. God didn't cause this to happen. Some people would say that that's what happened. God didn't choose it. Judas chose to completely reject all the information that had been given, to reject all those blessings, everything that he had seen. And that's unfortunately something that we see of what man does today, that man rejects, even though the Word of God is clearly saying things, man rejects what the Word of God is actually saying. And as man rejects what the Word of God says, it creates confusion, it creates problems for man. And we're going to look next time at some things related to what the will of man actually is, and what the impact that has on things as man does the right thing and as man does the wrong things. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services live as they're happening on Facebook. We also have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions or comments, anything that you read on our website, anything that you hear in any of our broadcasts or messages, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And the contact information for us is also on our website as well. So, you know, we would love to hear from you if you do have any questions or comments. And until next time, keep fighting the good fight of faith, preaching this gospel of grace to this lost and dying world.